Well, Tuesday's day, we all make choices. I hope we've made some good choices this week. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we just have to take the time to make those choices count. And last week we were getting into how we are blessed positionally in Christ. Positionally, spiritually, as well as in earth as it is in heaven. We looked at last week in the beginning of this epistle as an encouragement. We looked at verse 3, God has blessed us for the praise of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and with spiritual blessings. So we see the Trinity mentioned there. There was just a small group of people there, about 12 of them. By the time Paul was there in his third missionary journey, can you remember a church that you belonged to? It just started out just as a few seeds that grew. And I'm hoping that we're still one of those seeds today, that we're still growing. And God gives the water and God gives the increase. Second of all, we looked in Ephesians chapter 1 as that he has chosen us. That means God looked in the past and saw that he, through his love, had chosen us to be sons of God. We are heirs to the throne of Christ. We are something to be thankful for. He loves us. And I tell you, today in this world is just so upside down on some things. And people need to go and choose the Lord. We also see that we were predestined to be adopted. God had our predestined. He knew who would be his as being adopted. We're all from different families. We were all adopted into God's family. Jesus Christ foreknew that. Remember, God's love was first for Israel. And by the way, he still loves Israel. God hasn't given up on his chosen people. But there is an age we call the church age that God foreknew. And it's in the 69th week of Daniel. It's mentioned the church was the mystery we looked at last week that no one knew about in the Old Testament. And that word mystery has the idea of the church. I hope today that we take this mystery that we have and explain to people and share to God's love. Like I said, there are a lot of hurting people today. They just want somebody to listen to them, somebody to accept them. Then we see that God, and this leads into God has accepted us for the praise of his glory in verse 6 in chapter 1. We've seen in Psalms 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. So the heavens, the sky, and all that's out there at night, the stars and the moon and the sun and all the beautiful things that there are. And then we see in Isaiah 43:20 that mankind was created to what? Glorify God. That is to praise him. When we're blessed, we praise him regardless. And then we see even the beast, little animals, little dogs, little things out there, big things, four-footed things, you know, lions, tigers, and bears, you know, they were meant to what? Glorify God. But we see that today that we are blessed, and we also see, too, that regardless of sin, we can still praise the Lord. Then we see here that we were redeemed. Fifthly, that word of redemption in verse 7, that Jesus shed his blood for us. Isn't it wonderful to know that somebody cares enough for us to die for us? He paid the price. He has given us that freedom in Christ to know that he paid it all with his body and blood. It was crucified. He was crucified on the cross so that we could have what? Eternal life. And, you know, as I look with the younger ones as the older ones, we all need the Lord today. And then also God was given us last week in verse 8. He allowed us to abound toward us with all wisdom. Wisdom, God has given us wisdom. I pray that God will give us wisdom every day, you know, with the experience and knowledge that we have when we learn from our mistakes and our hiccups in life. And then also God gives us prudence. That's the practical use and truth that we have. So exercising what he has done. Also, we look at the mystery of his will that he's made manifest. That's the seventh area, and that's the church. And I pray today that people will understand what the real church is. There's got to be something different about you and I. There has to be, you know, the smoke screen has to go. The clouds have got to go. People need to see Christ in us. And I pray that it's our prayer every day, because we cannot. And I remember looking at the armor of God this week, and I was thinking about, you know, the belt of truth in the armor of God. I was thinking, Lord, here I am, a sinner, a wretch like me, just a worm, a nobody. And yet I put the armor on, and you have the breastplate of righteousness. You got the feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. You have the sword of the Spirit. You have the shield, which is faith, and the helmet is our hope of salvation. And I was thinking, all that apparel is on the outside to protect me. Because without that, I am nothing. Again, I am nothing without him. He also gives us an inheritance, the eighth area we looked at. He gives us a heritage. He gives us something that, you know what, this life will pass one day. Can we take anything with us? When we were little babies, did we bring anything into the world? No. When we leave, can we go ahead and take anything with us? No. But we have our eternity with Christ. And then we see also that he has sealed us. And you know, it has the idea the Holy Spirit has sealed us. That's the eighth area. And then, of course, he has given us so much more. So, moving along here, we have entitled today that we need our prayers and God's power. We need our prayers and God's power. And actually, I'm looking at the world today, just thinking about, you know, one person said today in this world, you know, we have the Word of God today. We have the Word of God today, and with some of the more, they didn't. I think judgment will be much more severe for people who have the Word of God, who did not obey the Word of God, who went their own way. But as the church today, I'm looking at, we're pretty much in the age here of the Philadelphia church, the missionary church, and the Laodicea church, the worldly church. And I can see that happening today. There's a lot of love for Christ. There's a lot of outreach to Christ. And, you know, we have missionaries there. We have people. And, you know, I'm praying that our churches will become hot, on fire for the Lord. Our country, as one person put it, we're living in a sea of lies today. There's so many lies out there. I got to tell it like it is, or else I might as well sit down, right? And it's called plausible deniability. Plausible deniability. That means a lot of people think today that you can deny the knowledge or responsibility for any actions or damnable actions committed. And so it's called plausible deniability. It's even hard enough to say. But, you know, it's a lie. It's a lie. And they smooth it over and they make it look so good. And, you know, it's just like a snake in the grass. Some snakes lay there so still they look like a giant piece of wood. And if some of you have been back in the Appalachian trails or back down in the Mississippi Delta, you'll see snakes down there that look so still, but they're so real. And they jump up and they bite you. We don't want this world to bite us. We have Jesus Christ. We have our help. We have our prayers and our power. One person said to me, well, why don't you become the president of the United States? Well, I looked that up. It's interesting. You know, each one of us would be eligible if very three simple things. One, you have to be 35 years of age. Two, you have to live 14 years in the United States. And number three, you have to be a U.S. citizen. So what are we missing, right? Obviously, we don't have that kind of money, right? So we need to turn to the Lord. People need to turn to the Lord. And when you have people in the background like BlackRock Investments that have $10 trillion of investments out of 1,600 corporations, major corporations in the world, they're controlling things. And that's what it's all about when they talked about the reset. I'm not ashamed. I will not be ashamed until I die. I will not be ashamed to expose the truth. It's there. People want anything but Jesus Christ. They want control. They want power. They want the old flesh. To feed the flesh. That's what it's all about in this crazy world we live in. People need to stop, get off the merry-go-round, and they need to stop and understand what the Lord is. So, we need to pray for power today. So, looking in our Bibles, first of all, God gives us spiritual understanding. It says here in verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, talking about this little church in the town of Ephesus, just like we are today. We might be small in number, but we're great in power and strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Isn't that sweet when we can, at the end of the day, or during the middle of the day, or the beginning of the day, however much time we have, we can sit down and say, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Oh, I need that sweet hour of prayer. That song goes through your mind. And you think, Lord, am I really going to stop and pray? You know, and sometimes we can't. Sometimes we're like, Lord, I just pray for the whole church, be with them. And you got things to do. You got other things in your mind. Other times you can have that sweetness, that time alone where you can pray for each person individually. And Paul did that as an example, like Jesus prayed for his disciples. Christ, remember, prayed for them in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that Garden of Gethsemane was, the disciples followed him in there quite a few times, didn't they? But Jesus was setting an example before the Father, as we need to set examples for one another. You know when people have been praying for you. And, you know, sometimes we might see a familiar face out there and like, that reminds me of so-and-so, I better pray for him. Or that voice comes, oh, that reminds me of somebody here that I might know. So we see here that it says here that the God in verse 17 of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowledge in him, so that we might know the wisdom and knowledge that he has given us. Listen to me. It's like, what a difference has it been since we've come to know the Lord? Have we seen a change in our life? Are we still fighting those fears or those anxieties or problems that we have in our life that creep up every day? You know, we're taking it one day at a time. Remember what the Lord says, you know, why are you worry? Why worry? Remember, you know, each day has enough problems of their own. Take it one day at a time. Relax, rejoice, prepare for tomorrow, yes. And prepare for the months ahead. And yes, prepare even for the years ahead. But slow down, stop, pray. Pray every day. Pray for our loved ones. Pray for those who need us. Pray that, Lord, I'm blind today. Please show me through spiritual eyes that I may see glimpses of truth that thou will for me. Remember, we were without promise. He has given us promise. He is without hope. He has given us hope. Without God, we have God in us. We were children of disobedience. We are now children of obedience. Understanding not God, now we understand God. Far from God, made nigh to God. We were blind, and now we're watchful. Without strength, he has strengthened us. taught of Satan, now we're taught of God. Led captive by the devil, we're led by the Spirit. Walks according to this world, the prince of this world. Now we walk in the light of Jesus Christ. What a difference. My heart goes out to the young ones today as well, because your mind is precious in God's sight. And He died for you. He loves you. And He wants to have a relationship with Him. Remember, Mom, Mom is there. Mom can teach you the ways of the Lord because she loves the Lord. She's your example. And thank God for mothers out there, for grandmothers. Children, listen to what your mother has to say in the fear of the Lord. And the admonition, that admonition means in the fear of the Lord and the correction of the Lord. Mommy was a child too at one time. We were all children at one time. We are children today of God that we're still learning. You know, we need the Lord. Then we see here, second of all, that you might know the hope of His calling. He has a calling for each one of us. A very unique, a very powerful calling. It says here, and the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. And so that hope of our calling in three areas. Number one, Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward calling. This is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Christ is calling us to a high call today, a call that is only given it to us through the Holy Spirit as God directs our paths. We may say, like it says in Proverbs, a man thinks in his heart, so is he also, but also God directs the steps. I'm sure there's not a day today where we say to ourselves, I didn't know this was going to happen, but it happens, right? So we see also too in 2 Timothy 1:9, it says here that who has saved us and called us to a holy calling according to not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time. So He has called us to a holy calling, a separate calling. Remember, we're in the world, but not of the world. And so God has called us. Hey, I look at all that's going on in the summertime. The summer has gone by very quick, hasn't it? And things are starting to wind down a little bit. Because some of the kids are like, hey, I can't wait to go back to school. I can't wait to see my friends. Other people are on vacations and going places. And, you know, I am seeing more and more people not going places. I'm seeing more and more people staying home. Why? Because there's high inflation right now. People have less money. And so people aren't doing as much as they used to. They can't afford it. But we have a holy calling. We also have a high calling, and then thirdly, we have a heavenly calling. Hebrews 3:1 says this, therefore, holy brethren, partakers in the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ. So, we have a heavenly calling. Remember, Jesus was made man. He's 100% man. He's 100% God. He came and He suffered. He went through everything that we are going through and more. And He's saying, come ye all that are heavy laden and suffer, and I will give you rest. He wants us to rest today. One of the reasons why Hebrews was written is because He wants people to rest in Him. Rest. Relax. There's a time, like it says in Ecclesiastes, to get out there and run and cut wood and do whatever you do, cut grass or to sing unto the Lord. And then there's a time to rest. There's a time to eat. There's a time to play. There's a time to do everything under the sun. And so then as we move along here, thirdly, that you might know the riches of His inheritance. Look here closely at verse 18, where it says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints. So thirdly, we have the riches of his inheritance. You realize that we have this inheritance. We have a place according to Revelation chapter 21 when we get there, that we have a place of beauty and splendor like eye has never seen, ear has never heard. We have a place of bliss. How many people ever heard that expression? Oh, I'm in a state of being bliss. You know, our bliss, this is so blissfulness. So, and then there's the place of joy and gladness. There'll be a place of satisfaction. There'll be a place of light and glory. There'll be a place for telephones too. That's all right. You know, we're all good on that. You know, I make sure I try to remember to keep my phone off. No problem. Don't be embarrassed about it. Sometimes it's a wake-up call if we start dozing off, right? I've done that too. I will confess, you know. And sometimes I have to grit my teeth or stomp my feet just to stay away. But stay tuned. God's got something good for us. So there's a place of light and glory, a place of holiness. We are the bride. We will be with our husband, the Lamb of God, the church. There will be angelic beings. There'll be rest. There'll be worship. There'll be service. So what we were created for, let me tell you, our inheritance is so wonderful. Everything that God created in Christ Jesus will be ours. Will be ours. Why do we have to worry about things? And I understand why lawnmowers break down or things or the wrong paint gets put on the wall. Why worry about that? You can always fix it later on, right? You can fix things. But you know, in heaven, it will be perfect. So you won't make boo-boos. You try, you know. You learn, and sometimes you burn. Sometimes you just have to learn from your mistakes. But in heaven, as well as here on earth, let me encourage you, brethren, rest. Rest. It's okay. Don't worry about the guy down the road who will get all upset or be looking at you like there's something wrong with you. No, just love him. Just go up to them, say, can I talk to you? Usually, most of the time, they don't like you. They walk away. Which, you know. But that's okay. You did your right. You did what was right. You reached out. You know, so we live in a hurt world. We need to seriously reach out. And then fourthly, that you might know his power. And in verses 19 through 23, it says, and what is his exceeding greatness and his power toward us to believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the right hand of the heavenly places. And by the way, that's where Jesus is. I don't believe in these visionary signs and these. People said, oh, I saw Jesus the other day. You know, no, Jesus is in spirit and he dwells within me. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwells within us. Let's get something theologically right. Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father, and that's where he is. Okay, the Holy Spirit guides us and directs us to Jesus. Unfortunately, in some churches today, they got it backwards. They're saying, oh, we need to... Jesus points us to the Holy Spirit, and that's all they dwell on. No, it's the Holy Spirit points to Jesus, and that's how we have our joy. And so it says, verse 21, is far above all principality and power and might and dominion. That means Christ can answer our prayers no matter what, through as far as the east is from the west, north from the south, and those dominions, those principalities, those angels, remember Michael fought with Satan, the devil, over Moses' body and prayed. Remember, there are a few other portions in Scripture. There is a major, major spiritual battle going on right now. And this is my point about power and prayer. And remember, God answers prayer. Daniel had that issue too. And there are principalities out there that are evil, And there are those principalities which are God's righteous angels. Remember, there's a warfare going on that we cannot see in another dimension. And I'm going to leave it by that, by faith. I believe in that. There is a part that I wanted to talk about that we need to really pray for, because there are many areas that we could talk about in prayer. A gazillion out there, if you can even add up to a gazillion. It's about our Christians that are being persecuted today. I was reading the news the other day, and, you know, I'm thinking about these Christians that are being persecuted, and I'm thinking, Lord, all I can do is just tremble, and I'm humble, and I'm saying this very slowly, Lord, please help them. Please help them. And there's something that's going to amaze you at the very end before I finish reading this information. But lately in Iran, there's been a lot of mosques being closed. A lot of mosques being closed. Many Iranians who no longer take the leadership seriously. Remember, the Ayatollah Khomeini came into power in 79. Remember our embassy, they had people there, and we came in and we rescued them. But they're really realizing with the leadership that this Islamic leadership is not working. And so you have a generation that's come and gone, and they're realizing, and some of them are turning to atheism in Iran, and there are many turning to Christ, and there are many that are not even going to the mosque anymore. They want to liberalize things, get away from it. No, just be patient here. And so there are many Muslims coming to know Christ, and now they're starting to clamp down on them. It's more like an underground church, because they will tell you that if you convert to Christianity, you're no part of your family anymore. You've been ostracized, you've been taken out. So, with that being said, we need to pray for Iran, for the church there, and many groups of people. There are people today that close to 5,000 Christians are being killed for their faith every year. There are churches, about 5,000 churches and other Christian buildings being attacked, especially in India, where they're doing nothing wrong. They're abiding by the laws of the land. Remember, the Apostle Paul did that? He abided by the laws of the land, but they still came after him because, I say, it's a spiritual battle. In India, they believe the Hindus, they want to have a Hindu state. And like in Iran, they want a Muslim state. Pray for Saudi Arabia. They're starting to let their guard down a little bit. But these people want the power. They want to control things. Christ is the complete opposite, where he gives us freedom and he gives us a life that we can enjoy worshiping him. And then we see there's about 4,200 people who are detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and in prison. Can you imagine that? Somebody coming and say, are you so-and-so? Yes. Well, you're under arrest. What for? That's none of your business. Here in the United States, they have to read you your rights. But here in the United States, you're getting more and more people getting arrested for an abortion clinic, for praying outside an abortion clinic. One person said England's about 10 years ahead of us. I say, no, I think they're more like 5 years ahead of us. Pray for England becoming more and more of a Muslim country. Pray for France. Like I said last week, missionaries that I know over there homeschooling two kids, a boy and a girl, saved up support about 3 years ago. And I got a letter from recently, and they said, we can no longer homeschool our kids. And they're watching everything that we're doing because we're missionaries. And it's a tragedy. But you know what? They're going to stay there. They're going to fight it out. He said, we're not going to give up. Things get bad, then we're going to bring home our kids because of the sake of our kids. You know, the only thing that happened is two precious ones. The top five world countries we need to pray for is North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan. And so why are these Christians being targeted? In some countries, Christians' persecution takes place under the authoritarian government. places like North Korea. Authoritarian governments seek control of religious thought and expression. It's amazing, by the way, the spirit brought to my mind in China. They come out with their own Bible, and they're interpreting things totally different, rewriting everything. The spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. Don't kid, we're not going to kid ourselves, no. But remember, Satan always makes himself look good. And people are saying, sure, the government can take care of me. Ah, but nothing's for free, right? They want to control you. And unfortunately, that's what this whole woke philosophy is. They're buying into it, and that's why our country is spiraling out of control. It's everywhere. And by the way, the woke, I would call it the woke philosophy, is a religion. Already in England, now they're talking about setting up 6 medical gender stations. In other words, that means your children have the right in England in the next year or so to go in and get changed to whatever they want to be. That is horrible. It's disgusting. I thought I'd never see that in my lifetime. That's crazy. But it is of the world. It is of the Antichrist. Suspicion of anything outside the majority of cultural faith. If you're different, okay, then they're going to treat you different. And so, like I said earlier, that people today are hurting. There are a lot of people hurting today. There are a lot of people in financial problems. There's a lot of people looking for all the right answers in the wrong places. There are people going to some churches that will preach to them financial prosperity, which is a big joke, because they prey, and they're predators. They prey on people's faith. You don't have enough faith, so give more money to the church. And this, it's a circus. And what really makes me angry, and I'm thinking about, you know, some people are better off never going to church. That's right. You heard it from me today. Because for the people who only go to church a couple times a year, they are so deluded. They are so spun out of control that they're so confused. They're like, is this church? I don't want to go to church. Are you kidding me? It's the last place I want to go. Did you know what happened down that church here the other day? And you know what's happening too? And I need to get off that topic here, but I think a lot of people are not going to church today because they've been hurt. They've been hurt. And they've just pictured churches all the same color. And, you know, but also getting back here with extremist groups who want to destroy Christians, that's another reason here. And then, of course, the official and cultural denomination of a single religion. It's interesting, you get it, this ecumenical movement, it kind of died away for a while. Now it's coming back up to the forefront. Do you realize once the rapture happens, it takes the real church out, you're going to have the apostates left? They said there's about 1 billion Christians now. And a very small percentage of that, what people are reading, what they did this survey, not with 1 billion, but percentage of that, they said a very small percentage of them believe in Christ. Also, you'll have about 1 billion Muslims, they said, in the world. Fastest growing religion today is the Muslim faith. So do you realize how lost people are going to be? But thank God we have Christ. But getting back to this ecumenical movement and people wanting to get along, let's all get along together. This kind of reminds me of the peace movement back in the 60s, where you had our soldiers fighting overseas against communism, and then you had people that were against it. And little did they know, back in the 60s, you had politicians playing games. So you have all that's going on. People are looking for peace today all in the wrong places. People are frustrated. Universities, people are angry. People are protesting. And a lot of them don't even know what they're protesting about. Why? Because they're looking for anything to rile them up, because they're lost. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the way, the truth, and the life. And pray for them. And then, you know, what I want to close with here about our power in prayer is that it has given these people that are persecuted, millions of them around the world today, they count it an honor to suffer for Jesus. Can you imagine that? I could, if we love him that much. Lord, it is a privilege to suffer for you, to be persecuted for you. I love you so much. Thank you for allowing me to suffer for you. It's an honor. It's a privilege. That's how they keep going on, because they've taken everything away from them. But fear not those who can destroy the body and the body here on earth, but God, who can destroy both body, soul, and spirit in hell. That's whom we fear. And so we have power in prayer. God gives people like that are being persecuted, I believe, special grace. It's like those who are dying. God gives certain people dying grace. And God gives his people who are suffering. And that's all they have left. And we're thankful for those that have been brought back overseas here to the United States. But I see all the signs eventually in the next 5 years, if everything is happening as quick as it is, I think we're going to be almost living in a different world 5 years from now. You know? But regardless of what happens in the next 5 years, who's elected president, who are politicians, and so on and so forth, remember, God's in control. Let me control it. Let me encourage you. God's in control. Number two, realize that there's been saints before us who've been persecuted, and there's power in prayer, you know? And also, thirdly, we have to realize that God looks at us each uniquely and gives us grace uniquely and takes care of us uniquely. As he's coming back soon, do you realize that he's coming back very soon? We're one day closer to home. And I'm saying this to encourage us that we might know him in spiritual understanding, that we know the hope of his calling, that we may know the riches of his inheritance, that we may know the power that we have in him and in Jesus Christ. Verse 22 and 23, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things in the church, which is his body. That's the church, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We're all in all. We're connected together. Christ is the head. And we have the power. We just have to use it, you know? And God can do wonderful things in his life. But remember, the fruit of the Spirit, and I'll close with this in a minute, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Patience, joy, and gentleness, and on and on. But we have to have that patience, the patience to go through those trials, and prayer that goes with it. Just like the armor of God. Remember what Paul had said, you know, that we need to pray for the saints. We need to pray for one another. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you, God, that you would just speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit, only as you can. We're mindful of those who are suffering right now for nothing that they had done, just because they believe in you. We pray for the leadership around the world. We know who controls different principalities, who controls different leaderships around the world. We pray, too, for our own leadership, Lord, in churches, at home, everywhere, Lord. People need you. People need to know the Lord. I pray today, Lord, that we will continue to ask for your help, for your strength, because we can't do it on our own. That we put on the whole armor of God, that we would pray and the power thereof. And there, we have so much to give thanks and so much of an inheritance that we have in heaven. And Lord, we pray these things, and as it was in the church in Ephesus, Lord, as it is today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.